Our next reading is taken from Matthew, chapter 16, verses 13 to 20. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you lose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. This is the word of the Lord.
Praise to you. Right, good morning, everyone. Can we just spend a few moments in prayer? Father, we ask you to send down your Spirit and to teach us your truths. And we ask through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Right, we've just finished the season of exams, haven't we? So it must be quite a relief to lots of people. I know that there aren't any young people here, but as adults, we're trying to help them through the exams, and the tension of the results afterwards is quite bad, is quite heavy. But the problem is, the sad thing is, that when we take our exams during the towards the end of our school life, that's not the end of it. We still have lots of other tests and things that go on. So, like driving tests, there's so many different ones, first aid course and everything. And I don't know about you guys, but every time I take a test, I come away, I sit there and go, "No, we don't know the answer." And sometimes I get lucky and pass. But as soon as I go outside, I think, "Oh, I knew the answer to that. What's the matter with me?" And I do it every single time. And it seems that this is what Jesus was doing to his disciples as he was coming near the end of his ministry on earth. So, what do you believe about Jesus Christ? And does it matter what you believe about him? So, if we could just do a 500-word essay at the end of this. No, there's no test on that whatsoever. And many people tell us if you believe a certain way, you could be intolerant. Others say it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you believe. But instead of looking for man's opinion, I want to look at to see what Jesus had to say about this subject. And so we find Jesus' words on this important question. And it says in the Bible, that reading we had today, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." I'm sure there were many different things that they was coming up with. And he said to them, "Okay, but who do you say I am?" And Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." He'd actually got it right. And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven." In this text that we read this morning, Jesus was nearing the time on the cross. He was coming to the end of his time on earth. He'd spent almost 3 years with his disciples, teaching and showing them modelling a way for them to continue his ministry. He knew he was about to die and leave this world. However, he wanted to be sure that his disciples had understood the vital lessons he had taught them. And very much like the things that we do, we have driving lessons and we have the dreaded test at the end of the driving lessons. He needed them to know the right answer. He was testing them to see that what he taught them, they'd understood. And among the lessons he shared with them was the truth of his identity. He could not expect his disciples to be effective spiritual leaders if they didn't know his true identity. So within this context, he asked them, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" So Jesus had begun with an easy question and then moved on to the difficult one. After questioning the disciples about other people's belief, he moved on to the question to question them about their own beliefs. He said to them, "Okay, so what about you? Who do you say I am? Doesn't matter what anyone else says. What about you? You personally, who do you say I am?" And so the answer to this question mattered to Jesus. There are some facts that are not a matter of life or death. If you do not know the names of, like, football teams who won the Premier League, well, I know one who didn't, Crystal Palace, but I probably couldn't tell you all the others. I'd probably have a guess at a few. But I'm sure it can survive. If you cannot explain the chemical makeup of water, I'm sure that you can survive. However, from this passage, we learn that it is essential that we understand the identity of Jesus. So as we look at our text this morning, in this text we discover it is important what we believe about Jesus. And I want to share three important truths from that text. The first truth is that it is possible to be close but wrong about Jesus. If you're playing football and the ball hits the bar, that's not a goal, is it? It doesn't count. Even so, being close to our opinion of Jesus doesn't count. In this text, we discover that people are sometimes close but wrong about Jesus. The people in Jesus' day had a number of worthy opinions of him. They compared him to John the Baptist, Elijah or Jeremiah, and they were sincere but sincerely wrong. Close counts in some disciplines, but it does not count in our opinion of Jesus. Understanding Jesus' identity is a growth process, but it is essential to discipleship. A Sunday school teacher was attempting to teach her young students the true meaning of Easter. So she asked them, "Why do we celebrate Easter?" And when the children replied, "Because of the Easter bunny." Or Easter eggs. I think we've had a few of those answers here as well, haven't we? Sweets. And she said, "No, those are the Easter traditions and symbols. But what is the reason we celebrate Easter? What happened at the very first Easter?" And eventually one of the children said, "Easter celebrates Jesus coming out of the tomb." In discussing the Pharisees, Jesus explained that they were close but far away. "These people draw near to me with their mouth and honour me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." Sometimes people get into discussions about Jesus' identity. The early church struggled with the issue of heresy on many occasions. Even in our day, we struggle with this issue. It is an inescapable teaching of the church that Jesus is God in flesh. Many people today do not know the right answer when asked who Jesus is. Some say he was a good man. Some people say it's a work of fiction. Or some people say he was just another prophet. C.S. Lewis in Mere Christianity said about Jesus, who met a man who was merely a man, and said that the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level with a man who says he is a poached egg, or he would be the devil of hell. You must take your choice. Either this was and is the Son of God, or else a madman, or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. So let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. Sometimes people are offended when they speak of such absolute truth. Simon Peter gave the right answer concerning Jesus' identity. He said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus was pleased with Peter's response. He'd passed the test. Peter's confession revealed several things for which Jesus was looking. His confession revealed that he believed that Jesus was the only way to God. The word Christ refers to the Messiah. Throughout the Bible, the Messiah is referred to as the one who would deliver men from their sins. And when I say men, humans from their sins, and bring them access to God. His confession revealed that he believed Jesus was God, that Jesus is God. Those are the bedrocks of the Christian faith. Jesus is the only means of God. He is totally God. He is the right answer to the divine quiz. There is no other answer. A third truth we discover in the passage is that our beliefs will empower us. After Peter's confession, Jesus had affirming words for him. "Blessed are you, Simon, the son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven." He went on to say, I tell you, Peter, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Jesus' words empowered Peter. So what do I mean when I say those words empower? When you are empowered, you receive confidence, you receive authority, you receive that notion that you are right, you know what's happening. It gives you the confidence to actually continue. Jesus' words reflect on the impact Jesus would have on Peter. "You are Peter, a stone, and upon this rock I will build my church." Here Jesus gave Peter a new confidence and courage. Peter knew he was right. He knew that Jesus was God. And that gave him that confidence. He knew he was going in the right direction. And it gave him the authority to actually build upon that. Now, Peter was not perfect in any way. He would have additional struggles, but Jesus had given him a new confidence. He found deep and abiding convictions that he would make him a rock in early church. So what about us today? What does all this mean for us? As a church, we believe that Jesus is the Son of Man, who died for us and rose again so that we may have life. And it is that knowledge that empowers us today. It gives us the confidence. It gives us the authority to go out and talk to others. We know he is our rock that we build our church on. A church that is not the building, but the people. As we build our church and empower people to go out and show others God's love, so that they may know the truth also. We are empowered to pray for others and for ourselves. We're empowered to ask for forgiveness, knowing that we are forgiven. We're empowered to invite the Holy Spirit into our lives, knowing that the Holy Spirit will come if we ask him. And when we are empowered, we will walk with a new authority, because we know that he will never leave us. We know he will never forsake us. We know that he would never mislead us, never forget us. That he is the first and the last, the beginning and the end.